It's been an unprecedented week in golf, and we are doing a special edition of the Golf Central podcast to respond. The Players has been canceled. The Masters postponed. We're going to break it all down here in a few minutes. Welcome to the Golf Central podcast, presented by TaylorMade and the all-new Sim Driver. The driver head was in need of a drastic change in order to provide more performance, so TaylorMade changed the shape altogether with their new Sim Driver, which allowed them to make it fast and forgiving where every golfer needs it, the downswing. The pros love the new shape, but the biggest reason TaylorMade changed the shape was to help make you into a better golfer. So check out TaylorMadeGolf.com for more information on the all-new Sim family. And with that, I'm your host, Will Gray. We are rolling three wide today here at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach. I'm joined by senior writers Ryan Lavner and Rex Hoggard. And Rex, we'll start with you. It's been a, as many have said this week, a fluid situation. developing and changing by the hour. We're now in a situation, you know, late Friday morning, the Masters is postponed, the Players has been canceled, the next 3 weeks have been canceled. We don't know the next time we're going to have a PGA Tour event. What's your take on the last 48 hours?
Fluid situation. That'd be a great drinking game.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Almost like during a hurricane, the way it works out. Surreal. I mean, none of us have ever seen anything like this. And I know it's been going on in other sports over the last few days, the NCAA, the NBA. Every other sport has caught up and realized that you can't carry on, that we have to stop for the safety of the fans, for the safety of the players. Didn't change the way things looked this morning. It didn't change the fact that you did not expect this day to play out the way it ended up playing out. I mean, certainly Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour, have been under a lot of pressure this week. I think they tried to make the right decisions along the way. Fluid situation, real time, whatever you want to call it. I think they at least gave it their best effort. When the Masters steps up a full 3 weeks out and postpones, we may play it. I mean, I don't know what the azaleas are going to be like in October. When they do that so early, you get an idea of how important that is.
Yeah, it's certainly something that, you know, when you go back and you look at Wednesday afternoon, this is a situation that none of us anticipated. And we thought that we were going to have a 72-hole event, the flagship event at the PGA Tour's home. And, you know, every 10, 12 hours, things change. You go from Thursday morning, we have fans on the course, to we're not going to have fans, to we're not going to have an event. And Ryan Lavner, even when we woke up this morning on Friday, you thought, well, maybe the Masters isn't going to respond for a couple weeks. We can see how things play out. And here we are in a situation where we don't know when everyone's going to stroll down Magnolia Lane.
In the interest of full disclosure, Will, this is the second time we're taping this podcast. This is take two. On Friday morning. We originally taped it after Jay Monahan's address. You know, obviously, Players is canceled. The next three events on the PGA Tour schedule are canceled. But the Masters was still up in the air. We thought we would probably hear an answer over the weekend. And then what happens? About 15 minutes after we pushed stop on the tape recorder, the Masters comes out and cancels the tournament. I think that's certainly an ominous message that they're sending here, that, look, this is going to be the fifth straight week that's either canceled or postponed. It's anyone's guess when we're going to be returning to golf competition. I know that's a very small slice of the bigger picture here with the global pandemic, but it's certainly been an unprecedented week, a week that none of us anticipated. We thought we were just walking into probably one of the five biggest tournaments in the world in golf, and instead we're left wondering what to do for the next month plus.
The key to courting breaking news is to hit record on a podcast. That's how you know things are about to change. That's what happened to us this morning. But we soldier on, and we're here at podcast 2.0. And Rex, you know, as Ryan pointed out, now even this morning when we were talking to Players initially, as Jay Monahan was making his statements, you kind of felt like, all right, we have a few weeks of the unknown, but we're all going to get back together for the Masters, and we're going to get back to business sooner rather than later. Now there's a potential for a prolonged situation where we don't really know when we're going to have the next PGA Tour event. Players don't know whether or not to stay sharp, to take time off, what to do here.
I mean, the Masters was a beacon of light this morning as we were talking to Players. You're absolutely right. It gave them a reason, all right, I'm going to go home for 3 weeks. I'm going to work on this. Talking to the Europeans, it gave them something to look forward to. I mean, if you look at a guy, Francesco Molinari, immediately comes to mind. I mean, he was on the fence. Do I go home to London? I'm not quite sure if I'll be able to get back for the Masters. That really doesn't even matter at this point. Like, now you're more worried about your families. And you talk to Players, what are they going to do for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, however long this lasts? I mean, it's going to be tough on them to try to figure out, how do I stay sharp? Because I'm going to have to come back eventually, going to have to stay in game shape. I think the one thing that I took away from all of this is sports, always seems to be what sort of takes our mind off of things like the coronavirus, 9/11. We're not going to have that, at least no time in the near future. And that to me is just baffling, because whatever the sport might be, I think of that Yankees game right after 9/11. I mean, it gave you something else to focus on other than what was going on in the world. Not going to have that, not in golf or any other sport. That's mind-boggling to me.
What is, I guess we can open this up to both of you guys, the thought of when we turn our attention to this week and TPC Sawgrass, this has been, a crazy week for the tour. It starts on Monday. They've announced the new renewal of the media rights deal. It runs through 2030. And it's something where you've got every shot live, you've got a $15 million purse, and then all of a sudden it all fell apart, quite literally. And Ryan, what were your reactions to just kind of how everything played out? It seemed like golf was a little more reactionary than proactive. Clearly the tipping point started Wednesday evening with the NBA suspending their season and Rudy Gobert testing positive for coronavirus. But in the 48 hours or so that played out since, what's your reaction to how Jay Monahan and company handled things?
Yeah, I certainly think the NBA game on Wednesday night was the tipping point that kind of forced Monahan's hand. And in 24 hours, that was the moment that he started to make some decisions. But I even go back earlier than that. On Tuesday, when he gives his annual State of the Players address here, and there's already questions. There's plenty of questions about how he was handling the coronavirus. He said that they developed they went from a task force to a business unit. He said they're still planning to go, quote, full steam ahead, which was kind of head-scratching to a lot of people who, they're either canceling tournaments around the world or other sporting events or even countries going like Italy going on lockdown. It didn't seem to really match with what was going on in the outside environment, and yet golf was just kind of forging ahead like there was nothing wrong. So the optics of that were already starting to look bad, and that was on Tuesday. And then you go on Thursday, which was just – it was an absolute cluster. I mean, you have a situation where players are waking up on Thursday morning after what happened in the NBA season being put on hold. They didn't even wonder if they wondered if they're even going to play the tournament. So they have that kind of uncertainty swirling when they even get to the golf course. Then there's the noon press conference where he said there's no fans for the rest of the week. Then there's the 6:45 p.m. Eastern Time operations plan, a whole detailed plan, parking, media availability, the support staff, who's going to be allowed on the grounds, all of that. And then you get the 10 o'clock notice and text to players saying that the Players' Championship is canceled in the next three events. This all transpired over 24 hours. But I circle back to that Tuesday press conference where he seemed to be lagging a little bit behind the times.
Well, and what gets me, and to your point, I mean, this was a moment of leadership, right? So this is the first time I think Jay was put in a position where he had to be a leader. And I'm not quite sure he did what maybe is expected of him. And I'll immediately go to the way Michael Wan handled last night on Golf Central Live from. He talked about why they have canceled the next three events. And he had a great quote about saying, I could be wrong, but I'd rather be wrong going this way than the other way. I couldn't live with myself if I went ahead and held these events and something happened and a player or a caddy or a player's parent ended up becoming sick, ill. You just can't have that happen. And look, as we pointed out, these happened in real time. He had to make a lot of decisions over the last really 48 hours, as you point out, Lab. But you just wonder how come it took them so long to get to this position. I mean, if you look at every other sport, NBA, NCAA, Major League Baseball, you keep going on and on and on down the list, they all reacted much faster than the tour did.
Yeah, and I know that we've spent much of the morning talking to players and getting various reactions. John Rahm, it was one of several guys who pointed out, if Rudy Gobert doesn't test positive for coronavirus, sports are continuing in some form or another. And we're probably still playing. Maybe we're playing without fans or whatnot. But that really was the tipping point and the spark that sent everything into free fall within sports. But, Lav, to that point that of, looking back and where things started to turn, South by Southwest being canceled in Austin last week. And then for the PGA Tour to say, we're still going to have the match play the following week. I mean, that's a big deal in Austin. It's a big piece of the local revenue and economy. And that was kind of the first smoke signal that said, all right, maybe we're not going to be able to just kind of soldier through this and continue business as usual with no autographs and extra hand sanitizer. And that really, started things in a downhill motion.
And Will, you just wrote the story on golfchannel.com. What happened between 6:45 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday and the text that went out to players at about 9:50? So what happened in those 3 hours? To me, I look at what Rory McIlroy said in the press tent after his round. He shot even par. He asked what, you know, it was like to play in this tournament. He said he was a little bit worried because, you know, you're interacting with people you don't know who's infected. You're touching the same flag sticks that everyone else is. It's just kind of an unsanitary situation. Yes, you can wash your hands with soap and water. You can use as much Purell as you want, but it's still just you're in the same hotels, people. You're on the same flights with people. You're in the same family dining. You're in the same locker room.
It's fitness trailer.
It is an absolute petri dish, regardless of whether the fans are here or not. And Rory made the point that, look, my mother has respiratory issues. You know, I don't feel great about the potential that I could carry it and potentially give it to her. And for Rory McIlroy, the world number one player, to come out, not only that, but then call for every player and caddy to be tested, to me, that was a moment of leadership that perhaps Jay Monahan hadn't shown over the previous 48 hours.
And it's impossible to argue with that. And we've seen leadership from Rory on a lot of different topics.
Especially this week.
Absolutely. But really over the last month or so. And Jay addressed that in a press conference this morning. He didn't name Rory by name, but he talked about players and some concerns coming off the golf course. I think that was part of it. And interesting to me, it was the two theme parks.
Yeah.
In Orlando, Universal Studios and Disney World, deciding to close down essentially for the month of March, that pushed him over the top. That seems a curious point of where you wanted to put your flag. Like, I know there was a lot of litmus tests you could have decided, and I know government officials were telling him all is good, you can carry on under certain conditions. But for you to say, nope, if those two parks decide to close down, that's where we're going to cut things off. I'm not quite sure I understand that.
Yeah, he seemed to be pointing geographically, because we're in Jacksonville. We're supposed to go to Tampa next week. Disney World, Universal are quite literally on the way over across I-4. And that was certainly a point that he made. But he also referenced, you know, the international players. And I know that we were speaking to Bernd Wiesberger yesterday, and he said that the thing that he feared the most was the potential for a full field quarantine. And we've already seen that in golf with Eduardo Molinari and Lorenzo Gagli. And they both ended up quarantined temporarily in Oman over fear that Gagli had coronavirus. They tested negative, but we've seen this potential impact in terms of, you know, what's going to happen if golfers have to be quarantined. And Bernd is from Austria. He's not sure how he's going to get back, if family was going to come over. And he's like, I don't want to be quarantined thousands of miles from home. And it's something where you know that you could be asymptomatic and still have it. And you've got, as Lav, as you said, you've got players, caddies, locker room officials, tour attendants. It's Pandora's box in terms of trying to put this thing back together if there is ever a positive test.
So what do you guys think now moving forward? I mean, it's obviously clear that the 2020 golf season is going to be unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And we talked to players over the past couple of days. You know, what do you think of the potential of playing a Masters tournament without patrons? Would you rather have that atmosphere, or would you rather just postpone the tournament? And generally speaking, most players said, we'd rather just postpone the tournament, play it in the fall. You know, Augusta National is closed typically from late May until October to kind of beat the summer heat. And look, I went to school at the University of Georgia. I've been falls in Georgia. It is absolutely glorious. What do you guys think of the potential of playing the Masters in the fall? Is that something that you think could be quite special?
Did you go to Georgia?
I did go to Georgia.
We hadn't covered that yet.
Humble brag.
Yeah, I certainly think that if the choice is patronless Masters in April or, you know, everyone's here in October, I think that the best option is going to be to play it in October in the fall. As when we spoke to Justin Thomas, he said, listen, it can be 25 degrees and snowing, and I'm still going to show up with a shot to win a green jacket. That's how much that tournament means to everyone in the field. And I think that that's a sentiment that is universally shared inside the locker room. And the Masters is the one tournament perhaps on the entire calendar that has the most leeway to say, listen, we're going to plant our flag wherever we need to on the calendar, and you're going to come to us.
Well, and let's throw the journalistic hats out the window and just go total speculation, because that's what we have to do now, because we have no idea.
We're in speculation mode.
Yeah, we're in total speculation mode at this point. And let's face it, going forward, the USGA, the PGA of America, the RNA, they're all going to have to make tough decisions. And if the way Augusta handled this is any indication, they're going to have to do it sooner rather than later. You would foresee some spots in the fall with the Olympics and however that's going to play out, because it doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction, where there would be a chance to play Augusta, play the Masters somewhere in the fall, and sort of kick off this abbreviated golf season and get in as much quality golf as we could. That could be the turning point, at least for our sport.
there are so many ramifications that we have yet to unpack. I mean, you talk about going to the fall. You've got a Ryder Cup, you know, in the fall at Whistling Straits. You could potentially have in the Masters in and around that. How the tour, you know, this is certainly way down the list, but how the tour handles even membership for 2021 moving forward, and who keeps their card, who gets their card. The Korn Ferry Tour isn't going to be able to play for the foreseeable future as well. I mean, there's a lot of ripple effects that are going to have to be handled, and right now no one knows any of the answers. We're still trying to sort through what the questions look like, and they've changed on an hourly basis, it seems, since we're taping this 2.0.
And we all go to these tournaments. I mean, I was planning to go to Austin in a few weeks. We're all going to go to Augusta for the Masters, and these communities are built around these tournaments. I mean, I think of Hilton Head and how big of a tournament that is to them, and in theory that's the next spot on the schedule where we could possibly see tour golf being played, although that seems wildly doubtful at this point. You just wonder how does this impact these communities after so many years of these being traditions and them not showing up.
And there are so many moving parts with the tour schedule that it's not, you know, rescheduling home and away games. It's, you know, each city that the tour goes to, that's the biggest golf event in that city for the year. And so trying to move things one week here or there, there's just a lot of moving parts that makes that difficult to do.
There is. And Monahan said in his address with us earlier today that he's looking at it, you know, kind of market by market.
Right.
You know, and that's an even more delicate situation because, you know, as Rex mentioned, Hilton Head might be a different situation than New Orleans the week later, which is different than Charlotte the following week. You know, I'm not sure they can go. It sounds good to say that you're going to go market by market, but can you also leave the membership in such flux, not knowing when or if a tournament is going to be played? That's a really delicate dance that he's going to have to do. But, God, it's looking like just a turbulent couple of months here coming up.
Yeah, I mean, you guys mentioned that, you know, the 2020 campaign is going to look like nothing we've ever seen, but there's also a chance now, once the Masters is at least temporarily off the table, who knows? I mean, we could be months right now before we get back to playing professional golf as we kind of have known it in the past.
And the PGA Championship was already in flux. I mean, it seems like right. It was 5 years ago, but this week started with rumors and speculation that TPC Harding Park wasn't going to happen. You know, San Francisco has kind of been one of the epicenters of the coronavirus spread. And, you know, there was rumors that it was going to be played here at TPC Sawgrass. You know, I think that's in flux now. The PGA is going to have to make a decision here that's in the next week or two about what they're potentially going to do. And I don't think they're going to have all of the information to make that decision, which is even scarier.
When we woke up this morning, we thought Augusta National had a couple weeks to make their decision, and they made their decision in about 2 hours. So I'm done trying to decide how long organizations have to respond and change course.
You know what's going to carry on, even though no golf?
Just podcast?
Just podcast.
There you go.
Just going to keep going. We're never going to stop.
Content. Except we're not going to have anything to talk about.
Oh, you never know. We could go back down the rabbit hole of Ryan Lavner at the University of Georgia. And
sandwiches.
Yeah. I'm telling you, October Masters would be so sweet. I'm telling you.
The 2020 players merchandise is kind of going to be like the Georgia National Championship merchandise that goes to...
on sale for like $4.99 at TJ Maxx.
It goes to, you know, wherever else in the world that this is going to be just one of those ones that it existed in our hearts for 24 hours.
Can we name Sung J.M. the FedEx Cup champion right now? He's leading the points. No?
Not ready to go there yet.
No?
But
no one? All right.
Hideki is the course record that never was. He shoots 63. He's got it for, you know, 8 hours. Now we're going to have to wipe it off the board, and maybe he doesn't have the course.
And now all he's getting is $52,000 since Monahan announced that they're going to be doing 50% of the $15 million purse equally distributed to all the players, except, of course, CT Pan, who withdrew before the start of the first round. Poor CT Pan.
Hate to put the journalism hat on, but that's tour regulation. So before we pin something else on poor Jay Monahan, let's at least give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. That's exactly what the tour regulations stipulate. And actually, they went further. They said it has to be a completed first round. It was not a completed first round.
Three lollygaggers.
It was four lollygaggers.
I just know if there's a line out the door for people to get $52,000 checks, I'm happy to take them off their hands if there are a few extra.
This can certainly cover the net jets costs for many of these players.
Yes. But, I mean, Rex, this is absolutely an unprecedented week, an unprecedented situation. We don't mean to make light of what is a very serious, you know, pandemic and world situation, but we live eat and breathe the world of golf, and we're trying our best to sort through it.
No, and I think it is important to say that the tour, I truly believe that the tour and Jay Monahan eventually got to the right decision. Did it take them longer than it probably should have? Yes, I do think it did, for whatever reason. And I understand, as Jay just said, this is golf Super Bowl. This is the PGA Tour's Super Bowl. And they wanted to do everything they could to get it in. And they tried a lot of different things. It didn't work out. All three of us spent the morning talking to a lot of players. Every player agreed that we finally got to the right thing.
Yeah. Strange times for sure, and something that we're going to look back on years from now and just still be scratching our heads. But for now, we put the pause button on golf along with several other sports. And Rex, as you said, podcasting will soldier on. But for Ryan Lavner, Rex Hoggard, I'm Will Gray. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Golf Central Podcast presented by TaylorMade. We'll see you next time.